The content is the protected, copyrighted property of the Murthy Law Firm. Please listen to copyright information and restrictions at the end of this recording.
Welcome. I am Sheila Murthy, President and CEO of the Murthy Law Firm. Thank you for joining us for today's discussion on a difficult topic, which is H-1B job terminations, layoffs, what needs to happen, the employer's obligations, and all of that. Joining me for today's discussion are two of my esteemed colleagues at the Murthy Law Firm, Chris Drynan and Kanya Sanders, who have decades and decades and decades of experience. I suspect that between amongst the three of us, we're probably about a century, which is really a big number, about 100 years, and it's hopefully a testament to our love, our passion, our concern for wanting to help and make a difference in the lives of employers and employees and provide guidance and support. So what are the strategies? How can we do onboarding and offboarding in a proper manner? The onboarding is when we start the H-1. The offboarding is when there's a termination, layoff, et cetera, as I just said. So we will explain and discuss what is a bona fide termination by an H-1 employer of the H-1 employee, what are the document retention requirements, and by understanding all of these strategies, whether you're the employer or the employee, you will understand how the process works. You will be able to understand what may happen next or what needs to happen next and how you can plan better to protect each party respectively. So with that, I'm going to invite Chris to maybe start off and talk about how can an employer effectuate a bona fide termination of the H-1B employee? Chris?
Thank you, Sheila. This is one thing that every employer that employs H-1B employees should be aware of. There are very specific obligations for the employer if an H-1B employee is terminated from employment. It's very important that you follow these steps to avoid issues down the line. These are three steps that you have to go through to accomplish what's called a bona fide termination. In other words, a termination that's consistent with the H-1B rules here. First off, you have to communicate the termination clearly and in writing to the employee. There shouldn't be any misunderstanding as to whether the employment has ended. Occasionally, when I do consults with employees, I will actually talk to employees who aren't sure whether they're employed anymore. Their payroll is stopped, but if you ask them, are you still employed? Do you still have a job? There's uncertainty there, and that should never, ever happen. It should be absolutely clear if the employment has ended. It should be done in writing. The next part of this is you have to notify USCIS that the H-1B employment has terminated. You have to do that in writing, and this will be a letter to the USCIS Service Center that approved the H-1B petition. Thirdly, you have to offer or attempt to pay reasonable costs for the employee's return to their home country. You're not required to pay for return transportation for the dependents of the employee, but you are required to at least offer to pay return airfare for the employee to go home. And finally, and this is a final step that might or might not be relevant, you should withdraw the Labor Department LCA unless it's a situation where you're potentially going to use the L for a different employee. That's an option you have. Sometimes employers will do that, but if you know the LCA is not going to be reused, it's best just to withdraw it.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, so that's very helpful. There are three-prong tests that you're meeting and you're going to take care of it. Now, would it make any difference if the foreign national employee now leaves on their own as opposed to a layoff or a job termination? Kanya, would you take a crack at that?
Sure, Sheila. There is a little bit of a difference. The significant difference is when an H-1B employee leaves voluntarily, there is no obligation to cover return transportation costs. However, you still have to effectuate a bona fide termination so that you still have to do what Chris said previously, That is, communicate the termination clearly and in writing to the employee, notify USCIS of the employment termination by withdrawing the H-1B approval. Now, you can also, to be, you know, on the safe side, withdraw the LCA unless the employer wants to use that LCA for another employee. If not, it's, you know, the first two is a must, and the third is a recommendation.
Got it. Okay. Very good. So we've again reinforced the obligations, what is required. So now, of course, all of us keep hearing about this so-called 60-day grace period that is offered to the employee upon the job termination. And by the way, presumably, whether it's a layoff, whether it's an employment termination by the employer or a quit by the employee, presumably the 60-day, up to 60 days applies, but of course there are restrictions and conditions as we will discuss. So the first time this was actually introduced was back in January of 2017 when the USCIS sort of established the 60-day grace period from the date of what they refer to as the cessation of employment, right? Even if it is prior to the actual H-1B petition expiration date. So it's the shorter, ultimately, of either 60 days or the validity of the H-1B I-94, which is either the tear-off portion at the bottom of the approval notice, or if you enter from abroad and got H-1 through the online I-94 card, it's the shorter of whichever of the two it is. And during this grace period, the person is allowed to apply for either an extension of status by finding another H-1 employer to switch or file a change of status to B-1, B-2 or H-4 as long as it is filed, whether it's a petition or the application has been filed within that 60-day grace period. A lot of people incorrectly assume it's 2 months. You know, if I was terminated on 31st of August, I get till 31st of October. No, we don't, because August has 31 days, you know, October has 31 days, whatever. You want to calculate 60 days and err on the side of a couple days before, don't wait till the 11th hour. And although that this rule is recognized or characterized as the grace period, it is ultimately completely in the discretion of the USCIS. And until recently, they have recognized it as a valid status. Chris, maybe you're going to jump in and talk a little bit about what we're seeing and what's happening out there.
Thank you, Sheila. Something we have seen in the past, I'm going to say 2 to 3 months, because that's really when it started to arise. We've seen a new
trend. Just saying, when you say 2 to 3 months, Chris, you mean like June, July, August, over the summer of 2025, because someone may listen to this podcast a year or 2 years
Correct.
From now.
Summer of 2025 is when this began to arise. Mm-hmm. But what began to happen is we began to see H-1B employees getting what are called notices to appear in the mail after the termination of their H-1B employment. And for those of you who don't know, a notice to appear is basically the document that starts deportation or removal proceedings. If you look at the document, it will say, it will be the government's, it's the charging document. It will have the government's allegations against you as to why you were potentially deportable from the United States. And it will have a court date on it where you have to go and appear in front of an immigration judge in immigration court. Now, it seems that these notices to appear are triggered when the employer requests withdrawal of the H-1B petition. I've seen probably in the past few months at least 30 or 40 of these, and every one of them, one of the allegations contained in the notice to appear is that the employer revoked the H-1B on XYZ date. That's one of the allegations in the notice to appear. So it seems that this is triggered on the day that USCIS processes the employer's withdrawal of the H-1B. I don't know if this is every H-1B revocation. I don't know if it's a certain percentage. These are things we don't know at this point. But as I said, I've seen at least 30 or 40 of these in the past several months. So it is something that's happening quite frequently. And the other part of this is to some extent, this is something we've not seen before. And I've been doing, we've all here been doing this a long time. We're talking in a lot of cases about people who are in what we used to, what we would call a period of authorized stay. So people who have a pending, who have filed an application to change status. A lot of times people, when their H-1B is withdrawn, they might change to another status, such as H-4 dependent or B-2 visitor. Or perhaps they have a pending green card application, a pending 485, either through an employer or through a family member. Now, traditionally, these people are what's called a period of authorized stay, which typically meant the government would not attempt to remove you from the country while this application was going on. These notices to appear that we've seen recently, they ignore that. I've seen lots of cases where people had filed changes of status to H-4 or B-2, people who had pending employment-based I-485s, people who had pending family-based I-485s, even through a U.S. citizen. And these people still are receiving notices to appear saying that they have to appear in immigration court. And at least one case I've seen, a notice to appear issued to someone who'd already left the United States months ago. So this is very, very scattershot. It seems perhaps that there is some operation at USCIS just to sort of automatically issue these NTAs when an H-1B withdrawal is processed.
Feels like the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing here. And clearly, I mean, it would at least seem that the person is within the 60-day grace period. When they filed it, they do, and it's pending. And ultimately, if that B-2 or that H-4, let's say, gets approved, that would be a valid basis, presumably, to challenge deportability / removability from the U.S., right?
I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. And these are going on currently. I have a number of these cases in immigration court, and these cases are progressing. And the other part of this is the immigration courts are so backlogged right now that sometimes people are getting hearing dates 2 years in the future.
And that means, for those who don't quite understand what that means, whether you're the employer or the employee, once you get an NTA, which is the start of the deportation / removal proceedings, as Chris just explained, if you depart to travel because there's a family event, a marriage, an illness, et cetera, of a family member, you are basically self-deporting and triggering a minimum 5-year bar to reenter the U.S. So you can travel, you can depart. Though with the 485, it's not as clear because 485 ultimately is completely discretionary as well. And so presumably you're not in what's considered a valid NIV or non-immigrant visa status, even though you may be in what's called a period of authorized stay, which previously used to be called period of stay authorized by the Attorney General or PUSABAG. Now it's called POAS. We talked about what happens if the employee has already departed the U.S. That's a very good reason to say motion to terminate proceedings, contact ICE and tell them this needs to be closed. It's absolutely a waste of government time and money in continuing to keep this open, as because now the individual can't even reenter the U.S. because at the border they're going to be told, oh no, you have a deportation against you, which is technically not right because the person wasn't in the U.S. and hence could not possibly be subject to removal proceedings. Anyway, we digress. I guess what if the employer of the H-1B employee realizes, hears about all of these NTAs, you know what, I'm just not going to notify the USCIS of the withdrawal of the H-1 petition because I've given a bona fide determination. The person knows, I know, I don't think there's any salary obligation that the Department of Labor can go after me. Is that reasonable? Is that tenable? Is that safe from the employer's point of view, Kanya?
So there are times that employers ask us whether they can delay the withdrawal of the petition in order to prevent the NTA from being issued to their terminated employee. Unfortunately, they are taking a risk because according to the Department of Labor, which they have established through multiple case law, in order for the employer's wage obligation to the employee to end, the employer must do both of the ones that we already talked about, and I'm going to say that again, and it's communicate the termination clearly and in writing, notify USCIS of the employment termination by withdrawing the H-1B approval. So unless they do that, you know, their wage obligation remains, you know, to the employee. for employers.
Yes, and ultimately the employer, as the attorneys or as the employer, you are required to comply with the law. So let's jump to the next topic and the next issue, which is connected with this, is as the employer, what are my document retention requirements once the employment is terminated, right? So with every H-1, the employer is required to maintain the PAF, the public access file, which what does it include? It includes the signed certified labor condition application, or the LCA, which is for the H-1 petition, the cover pages, the documentation confirming notification requirements have been met, the documentation of the wage rate which the employee will be paid, an explanation of the system that was used by the employer to determine the actual wage, you know, based on the person's education, qualifications, work experience, you know, et cetera, whatever their criteria that they've used, evidence of the prevailing wage, if it's the state workforce agency, the prevailing wage obtained from the Department of Labor, and a summary of the benefits that are being offered to similarly situated U.S. workers, including any kind of explanation or statement if there is a difference in the benefits if all employees do not receive the exact same benefits, right? And what are the, in terms of the time frames, what are the time frames, you may wonder, to maintain these documents? Chris?
Well, as far as these H-1B documents that we're referring to, an employer has to retain these required records for 1 year after the last employment date of any H-1B person employed under that LCA. Or if no H-1B non-immigrants were employed, you have to retain them for 1 year either from the LCA's expiration or from the date it was withdrawn. And that's the general rule as far as H-1Bs go.
Got it, got it. Okay. And I know there's a different rule with respect to GC, green card processing, with respect to perms. So, Kenya, what is the process for that?
For the perm, you know, it's slightly different. Okay, if the employer had filed a perm application on behalf of the employer must maintain a document retention file that generally will include items such as a signed and certified ETA 9089, the prevailing wage documentation, proof of compliance with internal notice requirements, documentation of the job offer and the alien's qualifications, and records of recruitment efforts, whether standard or special handling for college and university teachers, and these are required under the PERM regulations. The employer must retain this labor certification application and all supporting documents for at least 5 years from the date of filing the application. So, you know, it's a longer, you know, period that they have to retain this documentation, and the number of documents that you need to retain is pretty extensive, you know, compared to the H-1B.
Thank you, Kanya. So as you can see from this discussion, starting off the H-1B employee certainly requires careful attention to the timing, to compliance, to documentation, to retention requirements, what to give, how to comply, what notification to send. And as the employer, you need to maintain the necessary records and ensure compliance with immigration requirements for H-1B and green card sponsorship. As the employee, you have certain rights and obligations as well. File the change within the 60 days. You know, ensure that you are in compliance with your status. And if you believe that something wasn't done right, you can certainly contact your lawyer, Muthi Law Firm, to guide you, to help you, to educate you. And maybe if they issue the NTA incorrectly, challenge the government to ensure that your rights are protected, whether as the employer or as the employee. On behalf of Kenya Sanders, Chris Drynan, and myself, Sheila Muthi, we want to thank you for joining us for today's brief podcast and discussion on what entails bona fide termination / obligations of the parties when there's any type of employment cessation. We hope you found this helpful, and we look forward to continuing to guide you, help you, educate you, and empower you. Have a good day.
Unauthorized recording or dissemination of these materials without prior permission is prohibited by law. Learn about our firm, how to engage our services, and more at www.murthy.com.